You've turned into the broadcast where the rubber meets the road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This broadcast is brought to you by His Will Ministry. His Will Ministry is not here to sell you a diet program, videos, DVDs, or even the tape series that will change your life. We're all committed to one thing and one thing only, pointing you to the person of Jesus Christ. His Will Ministry is a worldwide evangelistic ministry. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We hope that you will be encouraged in your Christian walk through this broadcast. We pray that today's message will bless you and strengthen your commitment in serving Jesus Christ. Come and learn more about our ministry by visiting our website at HisWillMinistry.org or email your comments to info@HisWillMinistry.org. We would love to hear from you. Your support and prayer for this ministry will help preach the gospel around the world. Stay tuned for Pastor Warner.
And when asked how he knew God wanted him to walk, he said, "Because he told me so." In answer to the prayers, God had spoken to that boy. Now, nobody's been preaching Jesus to this boy. He doesn't have any way of knowing God. The next day, the girl that was with him, he was talking about the stairs, and she said to him, "Well, why don't you just walk upstairs?" Because he needed to go upstairs, and usually someone carries him. Toby just said, "Okay," got up and walked up and down those stairs. This is a boy that hadn't walked. See? Belief, the power of God. So I don't have it yet. God uses me. I'm like an old evangelist. I don't have any of the gifts of spirit until God wants them to work through me. Then I have them all. But see, Toby had something I don't have that I want. He had that faith. Unerring, total faith in Jesus. See, and that's what happens when we enter into the secret place. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." See, when we abide in that secret place, you can't help but have that faith. And Jesus, I had an old evangelist back in the 1800s I love. He always used to say, and they called him the Apostle of Faith, he always used to say, "When I didn't have enough faith, I'd call upon Jesus. And I'd say, I know your faith is 100%. Because you've seen the Father. You walked, you lived, you were resurrected. Jesus, if anybody would have 100% belief, it would have to be the Lord, wouldn't it?" But see, when we reside in that secret place, we're there too. But it's a place we need to get to. A place we need to be at. It's a place that's hard to get to. David in Psalms 92, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall grow like a cedar. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. In the courts of our God, they shall bring forth fruit in an old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in Him." I like that. You know, I'm not really old, but I'm 49. A half a year right now from 50. You know, being a half a year from a half a century, I like that line. "You shall bear fruit in your old age." I think that's a positive. But what does it say? It says the righteous. "Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness." If we're not where we want to be, if things aren't going the way they should be, then maybe we need to do some evaluation of ourselves. An old evangelist once said that it only takes one spark to start a fire. One spark to start a fire. And when you look at as dry as it's been, and you look at where the lightning strikes, we get a pretty good idea that that's all it takes is one spark. But see, the one thing I've learned, and Mary and I have learned together, is that when we come into any body of Christ, whether it's got 100 people in it or 5, if there's a spark, it's still alive. It still has hope. But if that spark dies, we've walked into a church with 100 people every Sunday morning being the deadest church I've ever been in. There's no spirit. There's no hope. Those people show up on Sunday morning. Sunday night, you're down to 15 if you're lucky. You have a prayer meeting in the middle of the week, 5 or 6. Death only occurs when the spark goes out. We worked with one church, and it was so funny. It was the first time I'd ever walked into that church. What was there, 4 that Sunday? 3 or 4. And they existed on Wyoming time. We didn't have Sunday school. We didn't have a key to the building. So we showed up. It was about 11:05 when they showed up. And, you know, I think we had 3 or 4. And I was so despondent in my heart that I went back into the fellowship room got on my knees and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And he said, "Didn't you tell me you'd preach anywhere, any place, anytime? Did you put a limit on who would be there?" And I thought, ooh, chastise. By the time we finished serving that little church, it was almost 30th Sunday, and the Spirit was growing. And it had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with my wife. It had to do with the Spirit of God. I've learned one thing. I am nobody except a vessel for God to work through. I can do nothing on my own except God works through me. I can have nothing unless the Lord holds on to me. Let's look at Isaiah 45. Let's go all the way back to I always like this. "I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces of the gate of brass, cut in asunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou may know that I am the Lord, which called thee by name. I am the God of Israel." You know, when I first heard a preacher preach that verse, they transposed it and said, "I will give you treasures of darkness." And I'm like, eek! Why would I want treasures of darkness? It doesn't sound good. But if you see what God is saying here, He's saying, "I will give thee treasures from darkness and the hidden riches of secret places." Why? "That you may know that I am the Lord thy God." Why does God do anything He does? For one reason: to be glorified. Here, He is talking to the king of a nation that is about ready to put Israel under its foot because he's mad at Israel. But God wants to be glorified, so He's saying to that king, "I am going to give you treasures of darkness." In other words, I'm going to give you treasures that you can't even conceive of, that you can't even envision. And I'm going to give you riches from the secret places. See, there's two things He's telling this king, because that king's going to be used by Him. One, I'm going to give you treasures from darkness, or I'm going to give you more riches from places you can never imagine. And two, I'm going to give you the secrets, the riches from the secret places. Well, the secret place in God's is the spiritual realm. So He's telling the king that I'm going to show you spiritual things too. I'm going to give you spiritual blessings as well as the material blessings. You can ask my wife, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I'll also tell you right now, God doesn't want you driving around in a big piece of junk that the wheels are falling off of, that blue smoke's coming out of the back, that has a bumper sticker on the back that says, "Follow me to church, because I love Jesus." And the reason is, that doesn't glorify God. You see what I'm saying? God doesn't really want us to hurt. Sometimes He allows us to hurt so that we'll learn. God doesn't want us to be so poor, broke, and destitute that we get to the first of the month and we have to say, "I'd rather pay this bill than give to God." Because everywhere through the Bible, Jesus says, "I came to give you life more abundantly." When He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will follow you," what did He say ahead of time? He said, "Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry, because you can't add one non-gray hair." Hey, I'm all gray, so I can't add one non-gray hair. Jesus wants us to live a life more abundantly, which means more abundantly spiritually, more abundantly financially. Now, that doesn't mean He wants you to be a millionaire, because God isn't going to give you any more than you can handle. But He doesn't want you so wound up in struggles that you can't keep your eyes on Him. And sometimes He allows us to be wound up in struggles so that we can keep our eyes on Him. But my life has shown me that if I stay in His will and I walk His ways, what's going to happen is He's going to take care of me. So we can't believe the poem Footsteps if we say, "Well, you left me, Lord, when I was down, because I only saw one set of footprints." What's he say? He says, I picked you up and carried you through. And that's the Jesus that I love and know. The Jesus that loves me so much that he has really my best interests at heart. He has my hopes at heart, my dreams, everything that I have in his heart. That's how important he is. He has your hopes, your dreams. He has this building, this body of Christ. He has the valley here that probably has thousands and thousands of people that need to be reached. That's in his heart. But we get to the point in our minds where we don't see beyond ourselves. And when we take our eyes off Jesus, things start going wrong. And if we're not seeking to find the secret place, in Matthew chapter 6, let's look at Jesus' own words. Matthew chapter 6. I'm in John, I'm in Luke, I'm in Mark. I'll get to Matthew yet. My wife always tells me that the little tabs here on the side of my Bible are cheaters because it gets me to the Scriptures early. But you can tell it doesn't work all the time for me. Matthew chapter 6. Well, let's start with verse 1. Take heed that you do not take your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when you do thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they already have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not the left hand know what the right hand does. And thine alms may be, that thine alms may be in secret, and that the Father which seeth in secret himself rewardeth openly. When you pray, you should not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into the closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, because they believe they shall be heard by much for much speaking. Therefore, be not like them, for your Father knoweth the things that you have need of before you ask him. Now most pastors read that and they tell you that Jesus was saying that you have to go into the private area to pray. Go into a closet, go into your back bedroom, do it by yourself. But see, I was speaking earlier about how men are. Our minds wander. Even when we go, if I locked myself into a closet in the old days and I started praying, it wouldn't take very long before part of my mind was somewhere else doing something else. I always like to equate it to a pastor that I read. He said it's kind of like this old story of a fellow that was too busy. And he was way too busy to get anything done. He could never finish a job. He was just here and there and there and here. And finally, he went to a magician, a wizard, and he said, can you get me a helper? Can you make me a helper? And the guy said, well, yeah, I can, but there's only one thing. You got to keep him busy. Because if you don't keep him busy, he'll consume you. He said, okay, how much? And he paid the wizard. The wizard got this, conjured up this whatever it would be. I would say it would have been a demon. But he would do anything at command. And he'd do it like this. Go build me a house. Go get me millions. Go do this. And very soon the man couldn't keep him up. He was back every few seconds and the man couldn't sleep anymore. He couldn't think of anything else but keeping this busy, keeping it going. And he finally went back to the wizard and begged him and said, what can I do? This is consuming me. And the wizard said, well, now this one's going to cost you a lot of money. He paid the price. The wizard was an old, gray-haired, curly dude like me. Reached into his head and pulled a hair out. Hair had a nice little twist to it. And he says, whenever he doesn't have anything to do, give him this hair and tell him to keep it straight. Because every time you let go of the hair, it curls again. The man went back and he gave that to the little worker demon and told him to keep it straight. And from then on in, the little guy was under control until he needed him to do something. And see, that's very much like a man's mind. We have to give it something. We have to train it to do something, or it wants to go off somewhere else. And I believe that's why God, through His Son Jesus, was speaking to us about praying in secret places. We find Peter in chapter 10 of Acts, verse 9. Peter goes up on the rooftop of a house at evening time to pray. And at that time, when he got away from all the hustle and bustle and went up on top to pray, what happened? He received the vision from God of the sheet that allowed him to go preach to the Gentiles. But he didn't receive that vision until he got away to the secret place. Until he got away from the world to the secret place. We want to see things happen in this world today. More miracles. We want to see greater things happen in our lives. We need to spend more time in that secret place. It's just like I tell my wife, if we didn't talk, we'd have no relationship. I wouldn't know who she is, she wouldn't know who I am. Well, how much time during the day do you spend with God? There's 24 hours. And if we go by the biblical principle of a tenth, that means a minimum of every single day, 2.4 hours a day with God. How many of us give Him 2.4 hours a day? How many of them give us an hour? How many of us give Him a half hour? It's been the hardest thing in the world for me, but I follow the biblical principle of getting up early. I try to get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I spend till I have to with the Lord. It's usually around 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's made a big difference in my heart and life. But what your time is, it may be evening, it may be afternoon, but if you want your life to grow and this church to grow spiritually, then we need to go to the Lord more. We need to spend more time with Him. Because until we're with Him, we don't know what His will is. And Jesus' prayer, teaching us how to pray, was what? First, praise God, hallowed be Thy name. And then, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Read it. That's the two first most important things. Praise God and worship. And then, hey God, Your will be done in my life. We had, my wife and I always get a kick out of this, we started praying God's will in our lives. Total will in our lives. We used to have a home in Colorado. It was a nice little place, nothing fancy. And we started praying God's will. And we were out in our favorite spot in the mountains, worshiping and praying. We were headed home, and at the same time, the Lord spoke to us. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I looked at her. You've seen that look between husbands and wives. That look like, did you hear that? No, I better not say it. Did you hear that? And she, I don't know which one of us spoke first, but we both said the same thing. The Lord just told me we were going to work for Him traveling around and living out of a travel trailer. Is that what He spoke to you? Well, here it is, 7 years later. 7.5 years later, guess what? We live in a travel trailer in Pinedale, Wyoming. And we travel all over Wyoming and parts of Colorado doing His work. We told that story to a little gal who works in a bookstore in Rock Springs. And we told her that the day you start really praying God's will and wanting it, your life will change. It'll be for the better. You may think it isn't. But in the long run, it'll be for the better. And she's like, I don't think I want to do that. Until we truly want God's will with all our heart, all our soul, all our might, we can't go anywhere for Him. In Deuteronomy 29:29, I'll close with this verse. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. What's he saying there? He's saying that the secret things, there's many things that are secret God won't tell us until we get to heaven. You know, there's things that have happened in our lives, that have happened to our friends, that have happened to people we know, we're never going to understand until we get to heaven. But he says those things that he gives us, that he tells us, that he lets us know, are ours to hold on to forever. And the only place we're going to get those secret things that are made known are from him. We can't get them just by reading our Bible or coming to church. We have to get on our knees and get before God. I don't know about you, but the one thing I see in this whole world, in this whole country, is a darkness coming over it. It's getting darker and darker and darker and darker. When a mainstream church can turn around and say, God is doing new things, and they start ordaining homosexual priests, and saying, God told them to do that, that it's a new thing, this world is getting dark, people. And there's only one way to stop that darkness. Me and you. That's it. There is nothing between the rest of the world and that darkness but us. Jesus said, I am the light. And then he told us, we'll be the light. Let it shine. So if we don't spend more time with the Lord in that secret place, more time on our knees, more time seeking His will, more time knowing what He wants for our life, then we're never going to get to the point where those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. This is the living Word of God. One pastor refers to it as the manufacturer's handbook. I love that. Because when you think about it, God manufactured us. He created us. And He gave us the owner's manual to know how to do it. There is nothing in this world that you can't find in here. This book tells you how to do everything and how not to do everything. You dig deep enough, you look hard enough, you'll find it in this book. Everything you need to know to apply for your life. Everything you need to know, how to build, how to not build, how to love, how to not hate, how to judge, how to not judge, how to hold, how to be compassionate. How to be willing to stand up for what you believe and hang on a cross. You know, out of all the apostles, there was one that died a natural death. And when you think about the country we're in right now, we may not have 400 people in this building right now. But we live in a country where in broad daylight, we can come to a building labeled a church and we can worship. And we can sing beautiful songs. If we were in China, it'd be 1 o'clock in the morning, and those windows would be painted over, and there'd be a little candle with just enough light for us to be reading by. And we'd never know if that knock on the door was the end of our lives. We work with a couple of ministries right now that oversees their building. This shows you the kind of building they had. They had a building that they put together for their church. A hurricane came through and blew it down. And now they're asking for just $200 to buy the temporary materials to put a building back together. Or $1,000 to build a building that they'd worship in. Their pastor, she's got 9 pastors that work with her. And they don't have enough money for decent shoes or clothes, let alone meals. Yet they have an outreach to children. They're working on getting a VBS going. They go hiking because there's no way to get there. They hike up into the mountains to preach to villages that will never hear the gospel. We are so blessed in this country. We need to turn around that blessing. We need to get out and find the secret things that God wants revealed to us by going to Him and then giving it to them. There's so many people in this state that need Jesus. The sad part to me is, especially as a pastor, is I can't count how many people that I know that have come through that Mary and I have talked with, and their only comment is, Wyoming is the most ungodly state they've ever been in their life. That just hurts my heart so bad. That just hurts my heart. Because that means one of two things. One, it's true, which I don't think it is, or two, I am not, and you are not, shining the light so they see it. See what I mean? We've got to get out there and put that light on top of the table, on top of a bushel in the window. There is nothing that you and I can do, but all things are possible through Christ Jesus. I know it's kind of a sad situation looking at with Brother Vance leaving, and I don't know the whole history of that. And I honestly don't know the whole history of this church, but I know that when I walked in here this morning, I felt a sadness. But when we started worshiping, I know the Spirit of God was here. And Jesus promised, where two or more come together, I will be there. And with heart and spirit and worship like that, and He'll be there for you. Just like He's been there for me so many times in my life. He loves us, and He won't let us down. Because if Jesus and our Father in Heaven lets us down, then we have nothing. We might as well just go out and be in the world. Mary and I might as well shut down the ministry He's given us. You might as well lock these doors, because if we don't believe the words of God that are written in this Bible, every single word, we've got nothing. So if the days look bleak, just start reading the Gospels. That's all you have to do. Just start reading the Gospels. Start reading about a humble man that was the Son of God, that was born of a virgin, that walked this earth and loved you and I so much that He was spat on, He was whipped, He was beat, He was stabbed in the side, He was hung on a cross to die because He loved you and I. 2,000 years ago, He didn't even know us, but He loved us and knew we needed Him.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to You right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that You would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with Your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow You. Thank You, Father, for sending Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank You that He has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at Your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank You, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.